40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Namdi, as we talk, we're into a new month of September, but let's go back a few days in your neck of the woods at the Honda Center. A former cab driver from Argentina by the name of David Peralta pulls off arguably the biggest upset of 2016. Tell our VOA boxing fans about it, Namdi.
Sonny, the boxing world is still reeling from this decision because David Peralta was brought in from Argentina. He was a cab driver and a part-time boxer. Here he goes against a former two-division world title holder in Roberto Guerrero, the Ghost. So basically, David Peralta is what we call the Ghost Buster.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
There's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Who are you going to call?
David Peralta.
Let's talk money, Namdi. What did each fighter make in this matchup?
Well, Roberto the Ghost Guerrero made $500,000 for this fight. Mind you, Sonny, this was on Premier Boxing Championship on a network, prime time, with millions of eyeballs. So he made $500,000. And the cab driver from Argentina made only $30,000, Sonny.
So Peralta, it sounds like he was brought in as sort of a given victory for Guerrero.
Sonny, in the fight game, we call this fight a tune-up fight, or a get-well fight, or a stay-busy fight. In this situation, it became a tune-out fight. They had to go all the way to Argentina to bring in a guy for him that he was supposed to beat. He was supposed to look good, but it became a tune-out.
Will Peralta's career be rejuvenated, resurrected, a springboard with this big victory over Guerrero?
Oh, definitely, Sonny. With a victory like this, you're looking at all the big names hunting for him because with this victory, he becomes what we call a top 10 fighter. Guerrero was what we call an elite fighter, world rank. So he moves into Guerrero's world ranking. Then you have people like Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Adrian Broner, Sean Porter, and Terence Crawford, everybody hunting for this cab driver from Argentina.
You said Peralta made $30,000 in this victory over Guerrero. What is he likely to make, Namdi, in his next fight?
Well, it depends on who is calling. If they're calling him for Danny Garcia, we should be looking at a starting point of $300,000 for a cab driver, Sonny.
That's a pretty good fare.
Well, they have to park the cab in the garage.
Were you convinced? I mean, were you sold over Peralta's skills, Namdi? I mean, is he legitimate?
Not really, but he did enough to win. Guerrero seen his best days, though. And Guerrero is basically fading, but he's still an elite fighter. He still pulls in big pros, you know. And when we're talking about big pros, Guerrero was making $1.5 million in his past fight. So Peralta from Argentina had enough to keep Guerrero off his game, had him off balance all night, and just tagged him. And Guerrero would just fade it all the way till the end of the fight.
Namdi, September, big month in boxing. We have two of the sport's biggest names, Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, and Canelo, Saul Alvarez from Mexico. They're both going to be in action. Let's begin with Triple G. What's he got ahead of him, Namdi?
Sonny, that fight is September 10th in London, and they're looking at the sellout crowd. He's going to take on a fighter that is basically moving up from the welterweight, which is 147 pounds to 160 pounds. The big question becomes, will Kell Brook have the power to push Triple G back or even hurt Triple G? But this is boxing, Sonny. This is the sweet science. Anything can happen. If Brook decides to go in there and fight and he ends the fight on his feet and no knockdown, no knockout, he will basically expose Triple G. And I've always said it to you, Sonny, Triple G is overrated.
So you're saying Brook might be able to win a points decision, Namdi?
That's the only way. He cannot go toe-to-toe with Triple G. If he falls in the trap of thinking he can knock out Triple G, he'd be in deep trouble. He'd be knocked out cold in his hometown. He needs to box. He needs to run. But can he run for 12 rounds? Because some of those body shots can really take away the legs, you know. So if he can run, touch and go, pick, just pick up the fight and make it an easy 12-round decision, Triple G will be exposed.
If Triple G is upset in this fight, Namdi, how does that hurt his career?
Oh, Sonny, we're talking about a cab driver pulling the biggest upset of the year. No, this is a mega upset of the year. Forget about a cab driver from Argentina beating Guerrero. This is a huge one, Sonny. It can happen.
Namdi, I know many fight fans want to see Triple G go against Canelo. That won't be happening in 2016. But Canelo is fighting this month. Talk about that.
Sonny, September 17th, the Cowboys Stadium in Dallas. He's taking on Liam Smith for the WBO junior middleweight title. And you ask yourself, why is a man who was once the middleweight champion of the world going down to 154 pounds to take on Liam Smith, who in the fight game don't really know about or care about? People believe he's scared of Triple G, running away from Triple G, ducking Triple G.
Let's say Triple G and Canelo both win their fights this month. When would they go up against each other?
Not anytime soon, because one, the promoter of Canelo needs to keep Canelo winning. He needs to keep Canelo bringing in the cash flow. You don't want to stop your cash flow if you're a promoter. Keep him away till maybe fall. But we have to see what will happen with Triple G and Kell Brook in England September 10th. If Triple G looks beatable, sure, the fight with Canelo will happen next.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And Namdi will be back with more verbal jabs during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! There's something weird.
It's the fourth day of action at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York City. There are scattered thunderstorms forecast for the New York area Thursday. So that means the competition's new $150 million retractable roof above Arthur Ashe Stadium could be closed for matches. U.S. Open officials closed the roof for the first time Wednesday night, when there was rain during the second set of Spanish star Rafael Nadal's straight sets victory over the Italian Andreas Seppi. The final score from New York, 6-love, 7-5, and 6-1. Afterwards, the fourth-seeded Nadal described the addition of the new roof as an unbelievable improvement at a tournament that for years has been plagued by rain delays. While Rafa is through to the third round at the U.S. Open, another top-seeded Spanish player, Garbiñe Muguruza, was upset in women's play. The third-seeded Muguruza lost to Latvia's Anastasia Sevastova 7-5 and 6-4. Since winning the women's title at the French Open in early June, Muguruza has lost in the second round in back-to-back major tournaments, Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. She has never been past the second round in New York. Meanwhile, the 26-year-old Sevastova is a good comeback story. In an on-court interview, the 26-year-old Latvian said she returned to women's tennis early last season for Grand Slam tournaments and as well as for playing on the biggest stage. Sevastova was off the court for nearly 2 years because of a series of injuries, mostly to her back. In the biggest upset Wednesday on the men's side, American Ryan Harrison beat fifth-seeded Milos Raonic of Canada in four sets. The final score from New York, 6-7, 7-5, 7-5, and 6-1. Raonic lost to Britain's Andy Murray in the men's singles final at Wimbledon last month. He said he cramped up in the loss to Harrison, and the cramps became so bad he couldn't grip his racket properly near the end of the match. But let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Ryan Harrison. This marks the first time the 24-year-old American has reached the third round of a Grand Slam tournament. Last week, Ryan and his younger brother, 22-year-old Christian Harrison, became the first pair of brothers to both qualify for the U.S. Open. Christian lost in the opening round. More than $46 million in prize money is at stake at the U.S. Open, making it the most lucrative of the four Grand Slam tournaments. Of that total, a record $3.5 million will go to both the men's and women's singles champions. The women's singles final is scheduled for Saturday, September 10th, and the men's singles final the following day, September 11th. And it wouldn't surprise me if Jay-Z is in attendance for one or both of the finals. Jay-Z enjoys U.S. Open tennis. And let's face it, VOA sports fans, Jay-Z knows New York very, very well.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy. Home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata. Still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
International football news now on the Voice of America. Midfielder Bastian Schweinsteiger has captained World Cup champion Germany for the last time in a 2-0 friendly victory over visiting Finland. The 32-year-old Schweinsteiger received an emotional send-off in Frankfurt, where he capped a 12-year international career that included the 2014 World Cup title. Schweinsteiger decided to step down from national team duties after the European Championship. Germany lost in the semifinals to host France in July. Schweinsteiger received a standing ovation when he left the match against Finland in the 67th minute. Just a few minutes earlier, a fan ran onto the pitch unchallenged and took a selfie with the smiling Schweinsteiger before running off. That's got to be worth something, a selfie with Bastian Schweinsteiger. Germany will play Norway in a World Cup qualifier Sunday when it begins its campaign to defend its title in Russia. In other friendly matches Wednesday in Europe, Norway had less than ideal preparation as it gets ready to host the Germans. The Norwegians lost at home 1-0 to Belarus. In another result, Russia and host Turkey played to a scoreless draw. Now, this game had some political aspects attached to it. The friendly was arranged late in order to mark an improvement in diplomatic relations between the two countries after a period of strained ties following the shooting down of a Russian military jet by Turkey. Some more friendly results. The Czech Republic beat Armenia 3-0. Ireland trounced Oman 4-0. Denmark spanked Liechtenstein 5-0. Estonia and Malta played to a 1-1 draw. And Albania and Morocco played to a goalless draw. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy September, Andrew.
Sporty greetings. I can't believe it's September already. I thought about that this morning. I said, oh, fall is approaching. So we just need the weather to cool down here in D.C. It's still quite warm here.
Yeah, a bit sticky in the nation's capital.
Yeah, a little bit. So.
Well, what's trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, let's start with Bastian's Schweinsteiger, because he is trending online after that emotional farewell. And the thing that I kept seeing over and over again were either images or video of that very tearful goodbye. And a lot of people saying, you know what, if ever there was a time where tears were deserved and to be respected in athletics, it would be something like this, where you're ending a storied career, so emotional, this huge crowd cheering you on in this moment. It was just a really emotional moment for a lot of people, even fans who aren't football fans, just general sports fans, just saying, wow, this was a really great moment to see. We saw, even in the stands in some of the videos, people holding up signs, hashtag Danke, hashtag Basti, hashtag legend. So even in real life, they're using hashtags, not just on social media. But Bastian Schweinsteiger said it was an honor to play for Germany and an even bigger honor to play for you fans. So that's the quote that a lot of people are sharing as they offer their respect. Congratulations. They're saying that he will definitely be missed.
Yes, respect to Bastian Schweinsteiger. He goes out a World Cup champion, maybe not a European champion, but he goes out with some great memories for that great German team.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, he mentioned that the biggest honor was playing for the fans are kind of returning the favor on social media. You see a lot of his fans, of Germany's fans, offering their favorite moments, offering their, you know, like I said, respect, but also thanks to him for the great work that he did for their team to win them that World Cup and to contribute to their success over the years. So a lot of appreciation and respect.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we've been following Colin Kaepernick for the past week. Of course, San Francisco 49ers quarterback refusing to stand for the national anthem here in the U.S. And there's been a back and forth on social media on whether this is the right move as a protest for the treatment of African Americans, whether he should stand with his team, how he's going about doing this. And there's new, I guess you could call it ammunition or new support for those people who are supporting Colin Kaepernick. And it comes from one of the greatest sports legends ever, and that's Jackie Robinson. Of course, Jackie Robinson here in the U.S. broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. His number is retired across Major League Baseball, number 42. And then we've talked about on the show in the past, Jackie Robinson Day in April, where every single Major League Baseball player wears that number 42 to honor him and his contributions to civil rights. Well, Colin Kaepernick's supporters have found this quote from Jackie Robinson from Robinson's autobiography where he said, "He cannot stand and sing the anthem. I cannot salute the flag because of the country's treatment of African Americans." So people saying that this is lending support to what Colin Kaepernick is doing, and even more so because Jackie Robinson was an Army veteran.
Mm.
So one of the arguments against Colin Kaepernick has been, oh, it's disrespectful to the troops. Other people on the other side supporting him saying it's not disrespectful. In fact, that's what they fight for your right to protest like this. And so they're using this as support, saying Jackie Robinson was an Army vet and he couldn't stand for the flag because he disagreed with it.
I don't know when the late, great Jackie Robinson made that quote, Andrew, but it must have been at least 40 or 50 years ago. So it shows you that these issues still resonate half century later.
Absolutely. And even looking at another sports legend who we lost recently, Muhammad Ali, a lot of people saying, you know what, if you don't like what Colin Kaepernick is doing, then you can't support Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali because they also engaged in this kind of civil action for race and for other issues. So a lot of back and forth on this, bringing in these historical figures. And as I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I think this is going to be a conversation that continues well into the football season over the next couple weeks.
And I think you mentioned it, Andrew, that some coaches and leadership have said that they're instructing their players that, yes, you do need to stand for the national anthem. That's part of our team policy.
Well, that's the other element of this, too, aside from the civil rights issues, is the idea of an individual versus a team. And I've seen some coaches, indeed, that have said, we are going to stand together as a team. If the players want to make statements or do things on their own time, that's one thing. But when we're on the football field, we are a team. We are one united group. And so we're going to all stand together. So that's part of the reason, too, why I think this is going to continue into the football season. You're going to have more coaches weighing in, more players weighing in. And then when that first game happens, when the San Francisco 49ers stand for the national anthem and Colin Kaepernick, we presume, will be sitting, I think there's going to be a lot of coverage and opinion on that on social media.
Andrew, I mentioned how the roof closed on Wednesday night during Rafa's match at the U.S. Open. Is that roof Twitter account talking these days?
It is. It's got a lot to say. The tweets were flying fast and furious last night as the roof was closed. So the one that I think got the most retweets and likes was just Seppi Nadal. I appreciate the warm up, but it looks like it's time for the main event. So the roof, maybe the roof's getting a little full of itself, I think. But you know, then saying that was quite the evening I had last night. You could say I covered a lot, if you know what I mean. Hashtag roof puns. And then I performed so well last night, I got the call again today. Wish I could say I'm surprised, but when you're good, you're wanted. Hashtag humble roof. Because, of course, the roof is closed today. They had some rain passing through New York, so they did close that roof again today. One thing that a few people pointed out on social media, it's great that the roof is keeping out the rain, but it's keeping in the noise. And some commentators and journalists who are there saying it's a lot louder than it's been in previous years because of that roof. So we may see some players weighing in on social media saying, glad to play on Arthur Ashe, glad to play on the court there. But maybe it could be a little quieter. Maybe people could keep it down in the stands. I've been watching in a couple of the matches, the chair umpires had to pause the match and say, can you please quiet down? Can you take your seats? Can you keep it to a dull roar? So we'll see if that that becomes an issue. Although it's funny because right next to the stadium is LaGuardia Airport. So even when they didn't have a roof, planes were always flying overhead and you could hear these huge jets flying overhead. So I don't know how much the difference the noise makes.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And we'll talk again on Friday, Andrew.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the September 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Happy September. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The terrorist group Boko Haram has exacted a heavy toll on the people of Nigeria. The group has killed more than 20,000 people, displaced more than 2 million, and plunged some 7 million Nigerians into hunger and desperate need. In the past 2 years, Boko Haram has used more than 100 women and girls to carry out attacks. Speaking in Nigeria, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, "No one anywhere should have to live among this evil, but it isn't going to disappear on its own." In recent months, there has been progress on the battlefield against Boko Haram. Over the last 6 months, the Nigerian army has rescued thousands of civilian hostages, and hundreds of Boko Haram fighters have surrendered to the Nigerian army. But beating Boko Haram on the battlefield is only the beginning of what needs to be done, said Secretary Kerry. To effectively counter violent extremism, military action needs to be coupled with a commitment to values like good governance, education, security, and respect for human rights. The fight against corruption has to be a priority of the first order, said Secretary Kerry. There is nothing more demoralizing to citizens than the belief that the system is rigged against them. The most basic duty the government has is to meet the needs of its people and to be accountable. Governments must provide equal opportunity for all, giving women and girls an equal chance to compete in the classroom and in the workplace. Finally, the government needs to promote compassion and understanding for fellow citizens. Breaking the terrorist cycle of violence requires treating those who escape or defect from Boko Haram, and particularly those who are abducted against their will, with sensitivity as they try to return to their old communities. Welcoming these individuals, especially women and girls, back into society without the threat of violence or discrimination, and ensuring that the millions who have been displaced in Nigeria and throughout the region get the humanitarian and government support that they desperately need. This, said Secretary Kerry, is the way you invest in a future that is free from violence and provides the stability and peace that Nigerians so desperately want.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election right here on VOA.